Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
You know, it was tough. It was tough. Brother Johnny will attest to it. He went through that as well. It's tough because initially your bank account is full when you go to school. But as the bills keep coming, they keep coming. You know, you can see the account dwindling. Initially, it's like a 2% drop. You're feeling fine. And then it becomes 10, 20, 50, 60. Whoa! You begin to shake. But for some reason, I had this confidence in me that just stay focused. You know, don't go back to sales. Don't. It's enticing. I have people calling me from my past company saying, Eugene, come back, come back. $90,000, we'll give it to you, come back. But I knew that if I go back, it meant that every single day, I'll be out in the field. Walking through the snow, stretching through the snow, trying to make the next ends meet, which is fine. But I realized, no, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to go back to that. I stayed put, applied for jobs left and right. And I thank God for the life of Pastor Francis in Indiana. He kept motivating me. He said, Eugene, stay in it, stay in it. And through him, I got a job at Anthem as a data analyst. And the amazing thing is that I work from home.
Wow! Okay.
I can wake up at 2 a.m., go to my basement and work. And to the point that now, you know, my wife is able to go to work and I stay home with all the three kids. You know, and can you imagine the savings that not having to send them to daycare? School is out. Jesse, Shane, Levi, they're all at home. And I'm able to stay home with them and be a father to them. You know, be able to take them to the park and have fun with them. You know, at any point, I have my phone with me, my work phone. I'm responding to emails. If there's something that I need to do, I have a grace period. I can get it done. And when I look back, I realize that when I was going through those those difficulties, those challenges, it was all for the good. And so this morning, when we say, I will bless the Lord, it is my confession that I will bless the Lord at all times. And may that be your confession. May you also have a testimony. And if you have a testimony, be encouraged that we want to hear it. Because your testimony will also encourage somebody. You don't know what somebody else is going through, but your testimony is what will encourage them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of
Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that was a great testimony. That is good, but I'm using a wonderful. Round of applause. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to give testimonies. Say amen, somebody. And with all that said, it's now time for our souls to be blessed with the word of God. For the wisdom from above to be imparted unto us. And by the grace of God, we have our Father in the house. Yes. So with great joy, I want us to be on our feet. That's a welcome. The Father of the house, Reverend Gilbert.
Voice and bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. Put your voice and bless his name. I will bless the Lord at all times. He's good. Did you wake up this morning? You have a reason to bless him. I will bless the Lord at all times. He's good. I will bless the Lord. Yeah, yeah. I will bless the Lord, yeah, yeah. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the
Hallelujah to Jesus. Is somebody excited about God today?
I'm here on first hand information that God is excited about you.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to honor you this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the access that you opened up for us through the blood. That through the blood we can enter through the veil into the Shekinah glory of God. And that we are not afraid that we might be killed. Because we know that you yourself love us. Not that we are trying to foreskin ourselves on you. You have loved us and paid with the ultimate price, the blood of your Son. For which reason we ask you, continue to reinforce and reignite our love for you. Deliver us from lethargy, from apathy. Deliver us from being unconcerned and not being excited about you and about your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will bless these words, cause our hearts to yearn and to long to be like Jesus, even as we wait for his second coming. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the King of Kings. We thank the Lord. You are all welcome to our Sunday worship service. And we are going to start, as usual, with our scripture of the week. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14. So let's try it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Hallelujah. God has given you a gift. Hallelujah. You know, when Moses was leading the people of Israel, when they came to the Red Sea, and it was what you call a crossroad, amen, where you have the Red Sea in front of you and the Egyptians behind you. So the people cried out to Moses, what are we going to do? We are all going to die. And then Moses cried out to God, and the Lord said, what do you have in your hand? Amen. Often you have something in your hand that you are not using, that God has given you, and you don't realize it is part of the solution. Amen. So neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The word presbytery means the elders, the leaders of the church. They laid hands. There is a transfer of giftings that can come by laying on of hands. Amen. We thank the Lord. So we are going to continue on our series. I don't know whether today might be the last, but we will see what the Lord will do. We've been talking about three people whose value was revealed in the Bible. Amen. It's under the general theme of valuing people. Are you with me? The value of something, there are many ways of measuring the value of something. But in the Bible, because we are Christians, we look at things from a different perspective, because the way the world values things may be very, very different than the way we believers should value things. Hallelujah. And one of the things that actually sets you apart is that when you value the word of God itself. You see, the whole world, we are in what we call the information revolution. Hallelujah. There's so much information going around, and you have to actually decide which one you are going to allow to influence you. Amen. Some of you come from places in the world where there was only one TV channel. Amen. Don't look straight so nobody will know it's you. Amen. There used to be only one TV channel that you don't have a choice. You don't have an ability to change channels. And then later on it became two. And then it became three. Now it's growing. Now they even have cable. Amen. Are you listening to me? There is so much information floating around, but which one are you going to allow to influence you? And what you focus on, you empower. If you focus on negative things, you empower negative things. If you focus on positive things, you empower positive things. Amen. And whatever you focus on becomes large. It gets magnified. Are you with me? And so, as you are talking about what to value and valuing people, the things that are valuable, if you allow it to influence your life, you become valuable. The brother was giving his testimony about how he went back to school. Education is valuable. So now he's at a higher value where he has a little bit more liberty with his time. Amen. And even whilst he was in school, you know, people were trying to give him jobs. Your options increase when you add valuable things to your life. Amen. Now, the most valuable thing for your life as a believer is the Word of God. But I don't think that we give it enough place in our lives. Because there is competition. There is voices, different voices trying to push for our attention. Amen. It's like when you are driving, you know. If you are driving and you have passengers in the car, you know, you need to be able to focus. Because on the one hand, you may have the radio on. Are you there? The radio in the car. And then you may be having a conversation with people in the car. All right? And then you also need to pay attention to the other vehicles on the road because somebody may be signaling to you. Are you following? And then you need to pay attention to emergency vehicles because they may be far. And if everybody, you see, all of a sudden as you are driving, you see that everybody is moving to the right lane. Everybody is moving out of. And then you are wondering, why these people, they don't have anywhere to go. Why are everybody moving out of there? You keep going. You could be arrested because it could be an emergency vehicle. But if you don't pay attention to that voice of the siren, you would miss out on something big. Amen. So you see, every point in time, you're going to have different things yearning for your attention. And what we are saying is that the biggest thing that should have the greatest influence on how we think is the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 12, it said, do not be conformed to this world. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world. This world is seeking to let you be conformed to it. Even though you are a believer, you can easily become conformed to the world. Hallelujah. But it said, be ye renewed. By what? Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. Amen. That word transform is the same word that was used to describe the transfiguration. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain, and the Bible said he was transfigured. He was transfigured. The Jesus they knew all of a sudden now appeared his clothes became very shiny bright. Hallelujah. That was the time Moses and Elijah came to talk to him. There was a transfiguration that the Jesus they knew became transfigured right before their eyes. Now, the scripture, that same Greek word that was used to describe Jesus' transfiguration is what was used in Romans 12 when it said, be ye transformed, be ye transfigured. You see, what happened to Jesus was that he was glorified. They saw a glorification of the man Jesus. Now your life will be transfigured or enter into a realm of glory that you haven't attained yet if you will renew your mind with the Word of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. So before I get into the message, I give a long introduction, which takes 75% of the time, but it's important. Because we don't just want to go through the motions of hearing things. We want to find out why we should hear what we are hearing. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 3, let's start from verse 1. It says, my son, or my daughter, my child, forget not my law, or forget not my word. Amen. But let your heart keep my commands. You are going to hear different things that are going a different direction from the word of God. But you have to make a choice that I will not forget or neglect the word of the Lord. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. He said, if you give attention to the word of the Lord, if you give attention to it, to in order to give attention to something, what does it imply? Like, for instance, when you are driving, you know, you are supposed to look forward and pay attention on the road. What does that mean? Focus. And it means, by definition, you are ignoring other things that are potentially trying to get your attention. Amen. And so when it says, you know, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you, if you pay attention to the word of God, it means that the other thing that are other voices seeking to get your attention, you have to make a deliberate decision not to pay attention to them in order to let the word of God has its effect on you. And then you get this result, the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Amen. Or, okay, I think we are going all the way to verses. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Mercy and truth. You should bind it around your neck. Mercy and truth. Amen. Bind it around your neck that you never take off. Like your wedding ring. Recently, I went with my co-workers to a place where we volunteered to help her. How do you call it? We volunteered at a food bank to help sort food out. Hallelujah. And when we were done with the work, they had a system for washing your hands, you know. And there was something like a machine that you stick your hands in to wash it. The thing will do the washing for you. And, you know, one brother in front of me, he was very concerned. He said, I have to make sure it will not take off my wedding ring. That's a good brother. You need such a man to marry. Amen. Because he said, I don't want to stick my hands in. By the time I take my hands out, the wedding ring is off. Do you get it? Yeah. Because there are some people you may never know limited. Before you know it, they're walking around with no ring on like they are free. Amen. He said, you should put mercy and truth. The word of God contains mercy and truth. Amen. Put it around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. I believe one of my main callings is to push for people to make the word of God the highest priority in their life. Hallelujah. Next verse. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You will find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Many people think the word of God is not relevant for here. It is relevant for here. It is not something we just spend our time on just so one day we will die and go to heaven. No. Right now, as you are here, the word of God has a place. Amen. Because you see, there are issues in our hearts which are being weighed in a balance, which only the word of God is a good scale. Without the word of God, you would use the wrong criteria to judge situations. Are you listening to me? Next verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, there are words in the Bible which are contrary to the way you think. Amen. The way you normally think. That is, before you go through the transfiguration process by renewal of your mind, your natural mindset in many places is not consistent with what God is saying. Hallelujah. And it's only an arrogant person who thinks that they are right all the time. He says, lean not on your own understanding. In many instances, your own understanding is not going to cut it. And a humble person who, by virtue of experience, even if you don't believe it, by virtue of experience, you know that some of the things you have done didn't work out quite the way you thought. Amen. And they backfired on you. So that should tell you that you shouldn't have too much confidence that every decision you are making, you are right. And so you are not willing to take any other contrary advice. Lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, acknowledge God. Amen? No exception. All in the Greek means all, as well as in the Hebrew. All is all. In all your ways. So in other words, there ought not to be anything in your life that God doesn't have a right to look into. Amen? There should not be an exception. Like, you know, you've drawn boundaries around things that God is not permitted. That God needs to get a key, a special permit to enter. No. Your entire life every aspect of your life, you must open it up to God. Amen. Hallelujah. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. Hallelujah. Do not be wise in your own eye. Once again, it's warning us that you will come to situations where your own wisdom, you may think that you are wise, or what you are deciding is the right thing. Every person who is not able to come to a junction and decide contrary to what you are originally thinking is a dangerous way. Hallelujah. A friend of mine, he used to say, he said, only a fool cannot change his mind. That this is what I've decided and I'm going through it no matter what everybody is saying. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And let's add verse 8. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. I take this word literally. That if the word of God becomes my spiritual food, it will actually be health to my physical body. Amen. Did you know that a lot of physical illnesses actually have a root in the soul? Yes. Even medical science is proving that there are some sicknesses that are coming from unforgiveness. Like, if you hold grudges and you are bitter within your long time, it can give you a sickness. Amen. And so the word of God, what the word of God is coming from, we are learning that thing from the root. Hallelujah. That is why a person like David is one person whose life can be a good model for us. Amen. David became valuable not just because he was the king, not just because he killed Goliath, but there are certain issues. One reason why I like David, you can tell that I like David. How many know you can see I like David? Because, you see, unlike people like Joseph, when you look at the Bible, Joseph, there are some people who are like, you really couldn't find anything wrong they did. Like, that there are three Josephs in the Bible, right? The Old Testament Joseph, son of Jacob. And then you have Joseph of Arimathea, and then Joseph, husband of Mary. They are all good guys. Joe is a good name. Okay. Then Daniel is another one. Perfect guy. Do you get it? David, the reason why I can identify with David is that Sister Bridget, I feel that he's like one of us. Do you get it? Because when you read the Psalms, you will see his frustration. You will read about how he struggled in following God. Amen. Amen. How in some places he felt like God has deserted him. He felt like, where is God when I need him? Amen. So I feel like I can relate with him. And so I read the Psalms, and it encourages me to know that, look, where the path I'm on, people like David have been on that path, and they made it. Are you listening to me? And so we've been talking about the life of David. And last week, we read 1 Samuel chapter 24. We talked about how one of the things that how the world operates. The world operates from the perspective of, if you want to do me, I will do you first. Amen. If I find out you don't like me, I would also do something against you. But then when David got the chance to kill Saul, he didn't kill him. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24, and we will add on to that today. Let's start from verse 16. 1 Samuel 24, verse 16. He saved Saul twice. So when David had finished speaking these words to Saul, that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. We are going to read big chunks of scripture. One of the things you should give yourself to is reading big chunks of scripture. I think last week or last 2 weeks, when we were talking about different types of Bible study, somebody said telescopic, another said macroscopic. Telescopic Bible study, I think we explained it wrong the last time. Telescopic Bible study is where you read large passages, but you are not doing in-depth verse by verse. It's like a telescope. You are looking at the thing from a distance. Hallelujah. And so you read large volumes of the Bible. Then it's not every time that you take every verse. Like you can, a book study, for instance, if you choose to study, let's say, I want to study the book of Romans in the month of July. Make it a point that I'm reading the book of Romans. Or I'm reading the book of 1 Samuel. This summer, make it your goal. You see, people are making summer plans. Have you made plans to read the constitution of your life? The Bible is the constitution of your life. And it doesn't have enough place in our agenda. When you are drawing your plans, reading large chunks of the scripture doesn't seem to be part of it. Hallelujah. And so we are going to read large chunks of scripture. He said, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. This is Saul. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? If you find your enemy, will you let them get away safely? This is how the world operates. Now, you and I are in the world, but we are not of the world. Hallelujah. So that the constitution, the way of life of the believer or the Christian is guided by the word of God. And there ought to be a clear demarcation, a clear difference that this is how everybody operates, but I will choose to be different, even if I'll be criticized, even if I'll be a laughing stock, because I represent another kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, on Friday, yesterday, when we came to pray for before we went to outreach, and a shout out to all those who came out to join us for the outreach. We read Hebrews chapter 6, and in the opening verses, you know, it talks about how, because of God, you and I have become enlightened. In other words, light has come to us. Amen. Then it also says, we have tasted of the heavenly gift. If you are a believer, that is what has happened. You have tasted of a heavenly gift, which other people have not tasted. Then it says, we have tasted of the Holy Spirit. And we have tasted of the powers of the age to come. If you are a believer, you are different. And don't be afraid to be different. They say you are weird. You are, you know, there's good weird and bad weird. You are good weird. Hallelujah. Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good what you have done unto me. So Saul is surprised and is thanking David for not killing him. Next time someone falls into your trap and you have power to destroy them, and you know that they are your enemy, remember that God has given you a new heart, a new creation. And the thing that makes you vulnerable is that you are exhibiting the nature of God. What David was doing was exhibiting the nature of Christ. Amen. And now I know, indeed, that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Therefore, swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me. Amen. And that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. So after all these nice speeches that Saul made, you would get the impression that Saul has repented. Okay? Saul has decided that, look, I'm going to bring David closer to me, and I won't go after David again. But let's go to chapter 26. You see, one day Peter came to Jesus and said, how often should I forgive somebody? Seven times. Jesus said, 70 times, seven times, if you can do the math. Amen. And Jesus knew that, you know, Peter wasn't good in math at school. So 77 times seven is a big number that Peter couldn't count. It means an uncountable number of times. Keep forgiving. Amen. Are you listening to me? God is giving us a new way of living. A totally new way of living. By the renewing of our mind, your life will be transformed. Your mind is like an interface that pulls heavenly reality into you. Your mind can either attract evil spirits, or your mind can attract angels and God's help. The way your mind works. Hallelujah. Your mind is part of your soul. It's part of the spirit realm. That is why sometimes you are there. You think of somebody and then you get a phone call from them. Do you get it? Or sometimes you have a conversation, you are talking about somebody and then they are knocking on the door the next minute. Why is that? Because your mind is part, we are part of a realm of spirits. This world is not just matter. It's a realm of spirit. And your mind is a key part. The way your mind works and the way you let the word of God to change the way you think, you actually partner with spirit beings. You choose which one you partner with. Are you going to partner with evil spiritual beings, or you're going to partner with God and his angels? When you saturate your mind with the word of God, and you, the way you think changes, the way you look at life changes, you open up yourself for angelic and divine help. Amen. Hallelujah. This thing of revenge, hard thing of life, I will choke you, I will show you where power lies. That is a lifestyle of the old school, of the old nature, which you and I should depart from. Okay? All right. Let's jump to verse 3. 1 Samuel 26. Saul and come in the hill of Hakila, which is opposite Jeshimon by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness. And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. Amen. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul in the camp? Hallelujah. Abishai said, I will go down with you. So David and Abishai, David took one of the army commanders to go into the camp where Saul was. They came by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay all around him. Abner is his army commander, his bodyguard, supposed to be guarding him. They are all in a deep sleep. Then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time. You are always going to have people around you who are going to throw more fuel into the fire. In a situation where you want to forgive, you are going to have people around you who are going to encourage you rather to pay the person in their coin. Hallelujah. And what they are saying seems to make very good sense. Madam Sally, what do you think? The guy, you forgave him once. You got a chance to kill him. You didn't kill him. You forgave him once. And now you have heard he's hunting for you again. I mean, this is my chance to eliminate him. Amen. Naturally speaking. So Abishai is telling David, look, this will be a one touch. I will kill him. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Amen. David said furthermore, as the Lord lives. So David begins to list potential ways that Saul may die, that I don't have to even help him to die. He said, either the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die. In other words, everybody lives a number of days, and it's your time to die, and you die. Or he shall go out to battle and perish. So David prophesied three ways Saul may die. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please, take now the spear and the jug of water that Abishai said, and let us go. So once again, David spares Saul a second time. So David took the spear and the jug of water by Saul's head, and they got away, and no man saw or knew it was it or awoke. Look at the last part. For they were all asleep, okay? Because what? A deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. The sleeping that allowed David and Abishai to walk out there, take their spear, take their jug of water, and they didn't even notice it. Because these army people, they are trained. That little noise, they wake up. But the Bible says a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. When you make up your mind that I will do God's will, when you make up your mind that I will make my world be transformed by the word of God, I will change the way I think. I have a right to take vengeance. I have a right to behave this way. I have a right to do everything that everybody else is doing. But because of God, I have chosen to live a different lifestyle. You attract divine help. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You attract divine help. Amen. So even they will not, you will think that sleeping is sleeping. But the verse is telling us that it was not ordinary sleeping. A deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Amen. Amen. So now David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, and a great distance being between them. David called out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, do you not answer Abner? Abner answered, Who are you calling out to the king? And David said to Abner, are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not gathered your lord the king? For one of the people came in to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. So David is teasing Abner. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die. Because you have not gathered your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the Lord, the king's spear is, and the jug of water that was by his head. Amen. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, is that your voice, my son David? See, once again, it is my voice, my Lord, O king. And he said, why does the Lord thus pursue his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, please, let my Lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. Amen. But if it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. For they have driven me out of this day from the sharing in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. So now, do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the earth. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes. Hallelujah. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. See, you are going to have people who will keep making mistakes, who will keep crossing you. But you have to make a choice. That the forgiveness is not because they deserve it, but it is because you belong to a kingdom where forgiveness is the food, the meal we serve. Because Jesus taught us. He said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive others who trespass against us. Hallelujah. Now, the hardest part is that when the thing that is requiring forgiveness is ongoing, if the person does it once, if the person does it once, it's easy to forgive. But if it's something ongoing, hallelujah. Amen. So, you see, you need to come to a point where you tell yourself, what am I living for? Am I living for my own life, to please myself, or I'm living for God? If you are living for God, then you can tolerate a lot of nonsense. Hallelujah. Because your life is not about you anymore. Yes. This is the life we are looking at. And the value of your life, okay, is two things. Things you do and things that are done for you. What I'm telling you today is that if you partner with God and partner with the word of God, that adds value to your life. But then the second part is that it attracts divine help. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people, when you are with them, there are some people, even if your computer is not working, and they show up immediately to start working. People in the world say this person is lucky. No, it's not luck. It's divine presence.
Amen.
It's God's help. Amen. You need God's help to be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because no matter what you do, there are other factors that come in, which is beyond your ability. And what you want, the best thing you want is that toe your line, the line of your life, to be consistent with God so that you don't drive away your Holy Spirit. David craved so much in Psalm 51. He said, do not take away your Holy Spirit away from me. Because he knew that without the Holy Spirit, he was useless. Hallelujah. So when you make yourself so hard, so strong against people's weaknesses, and so prosecutorial, you're always prosecuting. You are not partnering with God. Because you see, in Zechariah chapter 3, we read it on Friday night. It is said that Joshua the high priest appeared before God. God is about to bless Joshua the high priest. And Satan came there to accuse him. If you make yourself a person who regurgitates, who repeats people's wrong things, and broadcasts it, and magnifies it, you have enlisted in the job employment of Satan. You are now on Satan's payroll. Rather, choose mercy and truth and bind it around your neck. Amen. And have a mindset that this rather makes you more valuable, because the value starts with the choice you have made. Then it attracts God's divine help. As we end, let's look at what happened when Saul died, and then we will close. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Second Samuel chapter 5. All right. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Okay. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. So David, Saul has died. Okay, so let's jump to verse 10. People are now beginning to rally around David. David said on that day, whoever climbs up, no, verse 10, 2 Samuel 5, verse 10. So David went on and became great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. You see, your greatness, which is to say your value, high value, is because of this equation. The Lord God being with you will make you great. They put Joseph in the pit. They put him in the pit and condemned him there. But greatness didn't elude him because the scripture said the Lord was with Joseph. The greatest thing that will make you valuable is that seek to be on the Lord's side. In any issue, because there are some people, when a situation arises, they will say, you know, if it wasn't because of the Bible, I would do this to you. In your heart, you've already done it. Amen. You see, it's good to start there. It is good to start there, but then we are supposed to be renewed so that you won't even have to make that statement. Because that's such a statement, it's a threat. You are threatening somebody's life. Amen. He said that he became great because the Lord God of hosts was with him. Let's jump to verse 17 as we are winding down. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard it and went down to the stronghold. Hallelujah. I believe that's not the scripture I wanted to read. This is the passage of how they went to war. And the Bible says that David asked the Lord, should I go or should I not? And the Lord said, wait. When you hear a movement on the top of the mulberry trees, go. Hallelujah. So in other words, an ordinary military campaign, which you would think military strategies is what is going to make you succeed. It was not just a physical campaign alone. The Holy Spirit went ahead of him. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 1. I think that's where Saul died. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, where have you come from? So he said to him, I have escaped from the camp of Israel. So there was a war between Israel and the Philistines. Okay. Remember, David is now in the wilderness. He's not part of the army because he's still running away. Even after the first Samuel 26, Saul is still chasing for David. So David is not part of the army. But somebody is bringing him a report of what has happened in the war. Okay? Then David said to him, how did the matter go? Please tell me. And he said, the people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. So David said to the young man, who told him, how do you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead? Be careful before you go and report something. Then the young man who told him said, ask. I happened by chance to be on Mount Gabor. There was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me, and I answered, here I am. He said to me, who are you? So I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said to me again, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, my life, and my life still remains in me. So Saul didn't want the Philistines to kill him. He wanted somebody to, like, what do they call euthanasia? Somebody to help him die. And this Amalekite happened to be standing by. And Saul is asking the Amalekite to help him, to kill him, so that he will not fall into the hands of his enemies. Do you get it? This Amalekite is now recounting the story to David after the fact. So I stood over him and killed him. Because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and have brought them here to my Lord. Therefore, David took hold of his own clothes and tore them. And so did all the men who were with him. Many of us, when your enemy dies, you will not be sad. But God is teaching us something else. That people who even are against you, when somebody has died, that is not the time for you to begin to make a list of the bad things they have done. Do you get it? You'd be surprised that when somebody dies, every case is closed, but there are some people so vindictive that you want the whole world to know how terrible somebody is. But you, when we open your case, the whole day we won't finish talking about your case. We know your case, only that we are not saying it. In case you didn't know, we know all the things. We have decided not to talk about it. Amen. Yes, because of love. Because the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And your sins are a lot. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son. For the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. So that David's immediate reaction when he saw that, he heard that Saul was dead, he went into remorse. He cried, he wept. Do you get it? Then David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" He answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." Then David said to the young man who told him, okay, next verse. So David said to him, "How was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Go near and execute him." And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, "Your blood is on your own head. For your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" Then David lamented with his lamentation. David is a very complex character. Very complex character. Very complex character. He said that, look, you have crossed a line. You've killed the Lord's anointed. How can somebody, on the one hand, he has had this guy to be executed. The next moment, he goes into mourning again. He raises a lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. He told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Judges. So this is the song that David composed when Saul died. And let's hear the song. "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountains of Gilboa, let there not be dew nor rain upon you." Gilboa is where Saul died. He was deeply moved by the death of Saul, even though Saul never gave him any peace any day. Hallelujah. Because his mind is not thinking of Saul. He's thinking of God and what Saul stood for. "No fields of offering for the shield of the mighty is cast away there. The shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Oh, daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, for who clothed you in scarlet with luxury? Who put ornaments of gold on your apparel? How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished." Hallelujah. David composing a song to mourn the death of his enemy. It's a lesson for us. Put your hands together unto the Lord. Stand up to your feet. Commit yourself to God. Ask God to touch your heart. We give you praise. We adore you. Blessed be your name, King of glory, Lord of all lords. If you are in our midst, you have not made a pledge of your life to God. You have not committed your life to God and become born again. Your sins have not been washed by the blood of Jesus. You are walking around like you are alive, but spiritually, you are dead. But today, you can benefit from this free gift. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have never ever been born again, or you don't even understand what it means, perhaps you are the one I'm speaking about. If you are that one, with every eye closed, with every head bowed, lift up your hand. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord of all lords. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you are a believer, but you are backsliding, which means you are not walking with the Lord as you should. And you are not sure where you stand if Christ was to come today. You don't want to leave this to chance. You don't want to make a mistake, because nobody knows when the Lord will come back. If you want to make peace with God, rededicate your life to God as a believer, you also lift up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all join together and pray. Thank you, my Savior. Thank you for your mercy, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that Jesus was raised from the dead in order to make me righteous. Now give me your grace to live the life of a Christian and to attract divine help in everything that I am dealing with. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. We are going to take our tithes, our first and best.